I love November. I always think ahead to Thanksgiving, and I'm starting to count my blessings, getting ready my list of things that I'm grateful to God for. And I hope that you are beginning to look ahead and think, what has God done since the last Thanksgiving that has been very gracious on his part, good to you? He has done, in the last year, he's done a lot of good things for you. And he is worthy of that praise at Thanksgiving time. My wife's mother turned 72 this past Friday, November the 3rd. My father will be 80 this Tuesday, and I'm hoping to see him this month and celebrate with him. We had a great Hallelujah night on Friday. Thank you for all who came and participated. Shannon, I know you did a lot of work. Garth and Jill did a lot of work, and everybody else who did contribute anything to that, thank you for that. Garth, not feeling completely top-notch today, asked me on Friday if I would speak, and I said, well, I have to speak in chapel Tuesday, so I guess I will be get ready early for that. So I'm glad to be speaking to you this morning at the upper school, the middle school, high school chapel on Tuesday. My passage has been selected for me, and so this morning I'm preaching from that passage, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. If you have a Bible or a phone, you want to look that up. Joshua chapter 1. And as I turn there, I also will pray. Join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We know that with the changing weather, cold last Sunday and warm this Sunday, it affects our health, and we ask for healing for all those who are struggling under the weather at this point. Lord, we thank you that you're the God who heals, and you're the God who provides and guides, and you're so faithful. We are celebrating you, especially this month, for your provision for us, your faithfulness. Please open our ears and our hearts to this passage and our eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I have 4 points for you, and these 4 points have P's in them. I think I have told you more than once that I have a propensity for preaching P points. It makes me perfectly predictable. So my 4 points for you this morning, if you can write them down now if you like. My 4 points, as we look, well, let me read the passage, then I'll give you the 4 points. I'm speaking from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And I have the New American Standard Version that I'm reading from. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you will give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. My 4 points that I will be sharing with you this morning are, number one, the passing of Moses. The passing of Moses. Number two, the plan for Joshua. Number three, the promise of God. And number four, the path to success. So that's the four divisions that I see in this passage. So let's look at this. This is a fantastic passage. There are certain passages in the scripture, quite a few of them, that a preacher would love to preach on. This is one of those passages. Give me a passage like this. In the epistles, you know, and in the gospels, there are passages you could preach on everything. As a preacher, you have to preach on everything, but there are some great passages that you say, oh, let me have that one to preach. This is one of those passages. This passage is very good to read when you're going through a major transition in your life. This is a transition passage. And when you're going through especially unexpected transitions, you need the truths that are found in this passage. It may be an expected transition, and still you need these truths. So we're looking at this passage. Now, as I share it with you, I honestly have no idea how close this is going to be to my message on Tuesday, but it's the message that God has given me for you from this passage. So we begin by looking at the passing of Moses. In verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead." In my opinion, there are six giants, if you will, spiritual giants in the Old Testament. Three of them are major, and then there are three that are just slightly below them, in my opinion. So I'm sharing you my opinion. The three greatest men in the Old Testament, in my opinion, are Abraham, Moses, and David. They get more attention in number of verses and chapters in the Bible than anyone else. Abraham, a man of faith. Moses, leading millions of people 40 years in the desert. What a great man. Humble. Then the scripture said there is no man who is humbler on the face of the earth. And you have King David. And King David, he had certainly his highs and his lows, but he was a great figure in the Old Testament. I put three men under them, still great. They don't have as much. They're given a lot of space in the Old Testament. I say Joseph, Elijah, Daniel. So those are six great men. And here we have the passing of one of the greatest men in the Old Testament, Moses. And I share with you that I have most of my life wanted to be one of the great men in history. I've aspired to greatness such that, you know, when I died, people would say, what are we going to do without the great George Schoolcraft? Such a void is created in the world. The great George Schoolcraft. Pardon me? Some of you feel that way. And I appreciate that. At least I hope. But as I studied scripture, and I like to read biographies. The rest of my family, they like novels, exciting fantasy novels. Me, give me a biography. Give me someone who was great, and I want to read about their life. So I like to read about, and novels are great. Not that I don't like to watch movies. I like 2 hours, then I'm done. But biographies, I like to read them. But I've noticed something in all the biographies I've read, and I just finished reading a book this big, and I can't believe I'm reading books this big. Abraham Lincoln, I read that this summer. I'm reading a book that big on Robert E. Lee. And Robert E. Lee was a great man. He was on the wrong side of an issue. It's interesting. He said, slavery needs to disappear, and it will disappear when God wants it to, and only when God wants it to. And what he failed to realize, but he eventually did, was God wanted it to disappear. And so it did. But he was a great man. What I find is when I read about great men, that in order to become a great person, God pours equal amounts of great pain and difficulty into your life and himself. If you want to be great, he has to pour great difficulty and pain into your life and then pour an equal amount of himself. And when I began to realize that, I said, I am fine with being little George Schoolcraft. You don't have to remember me. But you know what? You often don't get to choose whether you'll be great or not. God chooses whether you're great or not. Job was great. I don't volunteer to be Job, but Job was great. God made him great. Sometimes you don't get to choose. And here Moses was great. He was an amazing leader, and he was now dead. And that leaves a void. When great people die, it's a transition time in your life. And the future seems uncertain. And at this time in Israel's history and in Joshua's life, how are we going? We need a Moses. But the truth is, you don't need a Moses. You need the God of Moses. For it was God who made him great. There was a great void. You may not right now be in a transition, but you may soon be in a transition. And maybe the Lord is bringing you to this passage so that you know where to come when you are in a transition. You could lose a parent in your life, and that parent may have been a great influence on you. You may lose a spouse, and certainly you wonder, how can I make it without that great person in my life? You may lose a child. In a nation, you may lose a president or some figure in the church, like a Martin Luther. We just celebrated 500 years of the Reformation. Martin Luther was a giant of the Reformation. How do you move forward? There's a great void when great people pass. And maybe there's going to be a loss in your life in the near future. How will you make it? How will you make it into the future God has for you? This passage gives us a direction in that. Moses, my servant, is dead. What a void. But God had a plan. God always has a plan. When you don't know what to do next, God knows what to do next. He has always known. And he knows what to do next down to the smallest detail. He has a plan. He is a planning God. He plans ahead. And so he says to Joshua, Moses is dead, in verse 2. Now therefore, arise, cross the Jordan, you and this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every piece on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. You need to remember that God has a plan. God had a plan for Joshua. It was to move forward and conquer the land. And God tells him, you're going to go this far and this high and this low. He says, all this area, specifically, he's very specific about the boundaries of the land he was giving. He had a detailed, specific plan. And God has a plan for your life. God has a very detailed plan for your life. And it's very possible, it's very likely, I would say it's very likely that you are in God's plan for your life right now. But there may be aspects of his plan for you that you are not in. You may not be in the perfect center of his will. And I want to talk more about that in a minute. But he has a plan. He has a very detailed plan for your life. And what was God's plans for Joshua's life? You see it right here. But I want you to know that God's plan for Joshua's life was the plan of salvation. By that I mean, God was working out his plan to save people all over the world. And that he and Joshua had an important part in it. It was to bring the people into the land. In this land, the people would follow God's law. They would bring glory to God. The world would become aware of the promises and the prophecies of God. Then he would send Christ to live and die and rise again. And the world would become aware that God had kept his promise, that the Almighty God of the universe, holy as he is, died for a sinful race and offered forgiveness and redemption. I have contemplated if the gospel, which it was, the gospel was always present in the Old Testament. It was that the Savior was coming. Amen? Trust Him, the Savior is coming. In the New Testament, the gospel is He came, and we look back to what He accomplished. The gospel has always been. If the gospel has always been, why is it that in the New Testament and in our day that so many people are getting saved and so few people got saved in the Old Testament? Why is it that Gentiles as well as Jews are being saved, so many, thousands and thousands? Why now? And as I look at it, my answer I come up with is that the gospel's power is that God became a man, died, and rose again for your forgiveness. And God was in a hurry putting everything in place because He knew once He accomplished our salvation that so many people would respond to the gospel. But until the gospel was really accomplished, few people take notice. Does that make sense? If I come and tell you that God loved you so much that He died for your sins, what power that has to convict your heart about your sins and to convince you that no matter what, God loves you. Until He accomplished it on the cross, it just didn't have quite the power for so many people. And God was in a hurry to bring it about. And He's saying, Joshua, it's time. Let's move forward. Let's get the people in the land. I've got a plan. I've got salvation. I want to accomplish it because once it's accomplished, people will turn to Me. This was God's plan for Joshua. It really was a plan for salvation, for the redemption of all who would believe. What a powerful plan. God has a plan for you, and part of His plan for you involves others coming to know Him. You're part of His plan for salvation for others. And He gives a promise. Number three, the promise of God. Verse 5, He makes this great promise. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Other versions say, I will not leave you or forsake you. He gives a great promise. As I have been with Moses, I will be with you. It's great that we have the story of Moses because you get a sense of how God was with him. I want to tell you four things, as I reflect on Moses very quickly, four things that stand out to me. How was God with Moses? Number one, He gave him clear direction. He had a burning bush that said, woohoo, go back to Egypt, go to Pharaoh, tell him to let My people go. He always gave Moses very clear direction. Number two, he had intimate communion and communication with Moses. He spoke to him. At one point, He says, I don't speak to anyone else face to face. I speak, but to Moses I speak face to face. Moses had answered prayer. What did Moses say? Lord, I want to see Your glory. He also prayed other prayers. Spare these people. And God said yes. He had answered prayer. And he also had shared glory. When he was in the presence of God, he'd walk away and his face would glow. He got to reflect the glory of God. That's pretty cool, isn't it? God was with Moses. And here, God promises to Joshua, I'll be with you as I was with Moses. Isn't that a great promise? Here's what's even greater about that, is that the promise that God made to Joshua is your promise too. As God was with Moses, so He will be with you. How do I know that? Because in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the author of the Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews says, be free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. For God has promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. And he's quoting word for word from Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. And what is he saying to everyone who reads Hebrews? He's saying, God's promising that to you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. That means that this promise to Joshua is a promise that God makes to everyone. Do you know God promises to be with you, to never leave you or forsake you? He promises to communicate very clearly his will to you. He promises you intimate communication and fellowship with him. He promises you answered prayer. He promises that you can share in his glory. Did you know that? That's his promise for you. And as you read the Bible and you see God was with Abraham, God was with Moses, with Elijah, with David, with Daniel, and anyone else. And when you see that God is with them, God is communicating to you that he desires the same thing for you. He is with you, and he will never leave you or forsake you, and he will do all these things in your life. And you may be in a transition, or you may be facing a great transition, and the message that God has for you is, I am with you. No matter who or what you've lost, you still have me, and you will always have me. And I will always guide you. I will always provide for you. I'll always be everything you need. That's a great promise. And that's what Joshua needed to hear, because Joshua was suddenly in charge of millions of people. I don't want that job. For the life of me, anyone who runs for president, I really wonder about them, because who really wants that job? Plenty of people, obviously. And Joshua didn't necessarily want it, but it was God's will for him, and that's a demanding job. But God promised, I will be with you. And he gave him then, the last point that I share with you, is the path to success. The path to success, beginning with verse 6. There's a Spanish language course that I have wanted to buy for years. It's called El Camino del Éxito. El Camino del Éxito. The way to success. The path to success. You want to succeed in God's will for you? This is the way to succeed. He says to Joshua, verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What is the path to success? What is the path to accomplishing God's plan for your life? Three things that I find here in this passage. The first one is courage. Courage. In order to accomplish God's will for your life, you need courage. The last time I preached at the upper school, at the Christian school where I teach, just so happens, in the perfect timing and plan of God, I preached from Numbers chapter 13, where they refused to go into the land. Last time I spoke to them, they refused to go into the land. This time I speak to them, they go into the land. What were they lacking when they wouldn't go into the land? Courage. Courage. God was with them. He was obviously with them. He was inescapably with them. In the cloud by day and fire by night, they tick him off and he strikes them dead. God was definitely with them. But they had no confidence in him. How do you have courage? With confidence comes courage. Confidence, Latin, con, with, fide, faith. Confidence is when you have faith in something. And so you'll stand on that something. And they had God with them, but they had no confidence in him. And here God is saying to Joshua, I am with you, so have courage. If you will be courageous, you will succeed. You can't succeed if you are fearful and timid. I am with you. Move forward in courage. Do you have confidence in God? I said earlier that God has a plan for you, and you are probably in His will, in His plan, right where you are. But there may be aspects of His plan for your life that you are not in. And I'll tell you what aspect that is. It's the aspect that you're too afraid to do. You say, that's a nice idea, God. I appreciate your confidence in me, but it's misplaced. I can't really do that. I'm unwilling. There's risk there, Lord. I don't know how that's going to turn out. And a Baptist preacher, pastor named Henry Blackaby, said something that I'll never forget. I hope I'll never forget. He says, when you're afraid and you don't think you can do it, you say more about what you think about God than what you think about you. When you say, I can't do it, you express more of your faith and lack of faith in God than lack of faith in yourself. Because no, you can't do it. You see, there are aspects of God's will for you that you cannot do unless God helps you. And that was the whole problem in Numbers chapter 13, is the Israelites looked at the land they had to conquer and they saw that it was beyond them. These people are giants. They have armies. There's far more of them than there are of us. On every level, we can't compete. We can't do it. And that was God's will for them, to do it through His omnipotent power. So you are probably right where God wants you to be, but you may not be doing everything He wants you to be, because there are some things that have too much risk. You're really not sure how well they'll turn out, and you really don't want to contemplate whether or not that's God's will for you, because it's too uncomfortable. And I want you to know that God's will for your life will always include those impossible situations. Because He didn't bring you into this world just to be comfortable and enjoy all the blessings without risk and effort. He wants to make you conquerors, more than conquerors, through Him. So my question for you this morning is, are you comfortable where you are? Would you like everything just to stay this way? I like it. This is good. Maybe a little more money. Maybe a little better health. But I'm good. Well, I fear for you. I fear that you may not accomplish God's will for your life. Because in comfort, you will not accomplish His will. But in courageous obedience, the next step is obedience. What is the path to success? You have to have courage. You have to have confidence in God. Cross this river and face those giants. I'm with you. You have to obey. He says, obey everything I've written you. Don't turn from the left, turn from the right, or to the left. God, in His love for you, wanting you to succeed in every area of your life, in the Bible, He gives you guidelines for marriage. He gives you guidelines for children. He gives you guidelines for everything because He wants you to succeed. He really wants you to succeed. And obedience is necessary for your success. What did the serpent say to Eve? No, God, you're not going to, God knows you're not going to die. He just doesn't want you to be like Him. He's just robbing. He made this rule because He's keeping all the good stuff for Himself. But no, God's guidelines are for our best and for our success. The last thing you need for success, I'm going to call saturation, because it says here, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything to according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have success. The path to success is courage, obedience, and saturation in God's word. Constant immersing yourself in God's word. Believers, I know this is the millionth time you've heard this topic, and most of the time you hear it from Garth. Read your Bibles every day, read your Bibles every day, read your Bibles every day. That can seem to get old. but it is the pathway to success. We've read the Bible before, haven't we? We've read it, hopefully we've all read it through at least once. That's not even enough. But we want to keep reading it because we say, oh yes, I read that book once, and we read it on Sundays. But you watch the news all the time, and maybe this show all the time, and you listen to this music all the time, and much of what we see on TV is coming from a different perspective than God's Word, and it has an effect on our emotions. It has an effect on our confidence in God, our outlook on the future, and we may have a verse. I can tell you my favorite verse, but unless you are saturated in this, you can't keep your perspective, your overcoming, confident in God perspective on life. And you will say, I forgot the Bible said that that's not a good idea. You know, I forgot that that bothers God. If you're not in it, you can easily compromise in areas. But if you're in it, you say, nope, I've got to stay true to God's word, as unpopular as that is. Saturation is very important. And so you're here today and you say, now that you get to that point, all right, so I'm okay. So I'm not saturating God's word. And all I would ask you is, do you want to succeed in God's will for you? You want to succeed. What are you after in life? I want power. I want pleasure. I want popularity. I want money. I want happiness. Or do you want an intimate relationship with God? And do you want to accomplish His complete will for your life? You could have so many things. But if you want God to be with you like He was with Moses, then you need to seek Him, study His word, be courageous. What is it that you want? The last part here, the path to success. Notice in verse 9, for the third time he says, be strong and courageous. Then he turns it to the negative and commands, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. It is not God's will for you to be discouraged. Amen. It is not God's will for you to be depressed. Amen. I do know at times that for physical reasons we are depressed. We don't get enough sleep. We may be ill. Our body can be going through some change, and our hormones are such that we are depressed. And I'm not saying that you're sinning when you can't control it, but at some point, you should realize I am depressed and I have every reason not to be apart from what may be going on in my body. Why? Because God is with me. In Mark chapter 4, you'll remember verses 35 through 41. The disciples are on the boat with Jesus. The storm comes. He's asleep. They wake him up. Master, do you not care that we drowned? He stills the storm and he says, why were you afraid? I'm with you. And you know that should be enough. Maybe your boat will go down, but you'll go down with Jesus.
Amen.
If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with Jesus because it's all going to work out all right. Amen. Mary and Martha said to Jesus, if you had just come a little sooner, our brother would not have died. And Jesus says, that's really not a problem. Lazarus, come forth. Whatever God's going to do, God's going to do. And if you're with him, it's going to work out all right.
Amen.
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 And so he says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. It is not God's will for you ever to be afraid or discouraged. I get afraid. I get discouraged. I get fearful. And I have to pray. I have to go find Jesus and wake him up and say, Jesus, pay attention to my situation. And he says, I've always been paying attention to your situation. It's going to work out the way I want it to. You're going to be fine ultimately. Be strong and courageous. Have confidence in God. Obey Him. Be saturated. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You may not be in a transition, but you at some point will be in a transition. And whatever moves out of your life, God will not move out of your life. Whatever seems to be going wrong with your plans, nothing is going wrong with God's plans. And He will accomplish His will. He will return and reign forever and ever. You're part of His plan. Do not be afraid. Be courageous. Dare to trust Him and accomplish His plan. Let's pray.